Hi everybody, welcome to another episode of All Geeks Considered. This time around, Diego and I are talking about the classic OVA series, Megazone 2 and 3. We're looking at all three parts from the, this one's still relatively new release from Animego. I think you can still get that if you want it. And I'd like to thank our Patreon supporters for making this podcast a little easier on us. Ink, Vince, Patrick, and Faisal, if you want to join them as Magnanimous benefactors or loyal supporters, you can go to patreon.com and search for allgeekconsider.com. If not, you can always go to the website, which is under construction, so I'm not going to tell you the URL, but you can find the podcast on any podcast thingamadoodle, like your iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud. And if we're not there, tell me on Twitter, VinnyAvAGC, or tell Diego, DM _AGC, and we will make sure the whole podcast is there, because we want to fill the dead space in your life with noise. Thank you for listening, and get ready for these. Let's talk about some good cartoons. And we are back in our cyberpunk adventures of 2021. This time we're talking about the Megazone 2-3 trilogy.
It really is a theme.
It's been semi-inadvertent, but we've done this is our third episode this year that we've done that has a cyberpunk element, at least.
And I can't imagine it will be our last.
It might be the last of the year.
Hold on. I'm not recording. I don't know why I'm not recording, but... why isn't this recording? It's the right mic. But it's definitely not recording. You can hear me, right?
I can hear you a lot perfectly.
And then that annoying, I'm using my mic, not... testing. 1, 2, 3. No, I don't know why it's not recording, but it's not recording. Are we going to be okay with Skype Recorder?
Skype Recorder, they made a new version. It seems to be better.
All right, I'm just not going to record
this. And our file size is growing.
I will troubleshoot it later.
Okay.
We can either continue or start again.
Let's start over. We didn't do enough to actually make it work, make it matter.
Okay, I'm ready.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we are back with All Geeks Considered 2021, the year of cyberpunk. Did we plan it? No. Is it happening? Yes.
I just, I have, I didn't realize until you said that, where I'm just like, yeah, we're kind of doing, this weird impromptu 2021 is the year of cyberpunk.
Again, we've lived a year in, as close as we're going to get for a while to cyber, we've moved faster and harder into cyberpunk in real world than we have before, until right now.
It's true. But yes, Megazone 2, 3, which I think, you'll correct me, because you're going to talk about it, I'm sure, but this was a anime Secret Santa thing that you just postponed.
So, since you bring it up, I'll hit that now. So in 2019, I got this for Secret Santa, but it had already gone through the Kickstarter, which I had already backed. And I'm like, well, I'm not gonna watch this on DVD for Secret Santa when I know there's a Blu-ray coming. And I'd already seen parts 1 and 2 even then. I had not seen the third part at the time.
I see. Yeah, so I'll just piggyback on that. I kind of I watched the first half of Megazone 2-3 like just the first part, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm gonna order these Blu-rays because one, mostly because like I knew there were dubs out there, and I wanted that dub. But like it was also something where I'm like, I got halfway through, and I'm like, I think my wife's gonna want to watch this.
Like you didn't even finish the first movie, and you're like, yeah, I'm just gonna buy it now.
Yeah, I didn't finish. I just, like, halfway through, I'm just like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go. Where can I get this? What's going on? It was a big trip through. Oh, that's where it's available.
Yeah, if you want this, it is pretty much, I think at this point, still only available from the publisher. They're still filling the Kickstarter.
Correct. And they seem to have all the stuff for right now, but apparently that hits and misses.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that they make enough of the regular edition to last for about a year or two, but the special edition, they might make a few extra, and they'll wait until anyone who's gotten it has, you know, give them some time in case there's issues with the discs or anything.
And I don't know. No one has time for special editions. Or at least I don't, so I just got the regular. And it was fine. I still got a bunch of stuff.
I mean, the thing is, I want the stuff on the discs, and I don't need, like, pins and patches and mm-hmm. stuff that's going to go into a box and I'll forget about. And then, you know, when you move or unpack it someday, you'll see it and go, oh, right, I spent money on those things.
I still wound up with a poster and a little card, like all kinds of crap I don't need.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff can fit in the case, and it'll stay in the case forever.
Mm-hmm. But, so that's good. Like, we're doing, it's like Christmas in May.
Yeah, it's Christmas.
Or June, when this gets released.
Oh, June, July, August, September. I've got to do, like, two episodes 1 month to get released, to catch us up, because, none of the Cyberpunk episodes have been released, but, I'm in the process of editing the first part.
Okay, well, I feel a little less bad about our dearth of recording then. Because that's all my fault. But we are segueing into podcast bureaucracy. We should be talking about Megazone 2-3.
Which has not much bureaucracy.
No, and by the way, so I'm going to... I am... start of this thing just calling the Wachowskis liars.
Yeah, if they actually did not see this, that's, you know, they must have read the plot summary in, like, An America or something.
I don't even agree with that, because there's just too much, like, there are visual cues that link directly from The Matrix to this stuff.
So what Diego is referencing is the base plot of this, and there are...
Oh, yeah, but, well, hold on. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend you bow out now and go watch it. Like, we're both gonna recommend it. I haven't heard that from Vinny, but I know it's true.
Oh yeah, I mean, again, I have seen this before. I backed it first day on the Kickstarter. It's been on my podcast plan for years, and it's sort of, you know, getting those blue my fat little fingers, pushing up the hopper.
But we're both gonna recommend it. So go.
I would recommend at least parts 1 and 2.
I will recommend all 3 because it's the third one's so fun. But in any case,
also, what are you gonna do? Not watch it? You got it. You can't escape it. You can't just buy 1 and 2.
Exactly. So and then come back because there's no way to do this without spoiling hard. So we're gonna spoil hard.
We've already spoiled enough that it's related to the Matrix.
It's true. It's true. But yeah, like there's just no. There's no fucking way. But let's go into the plot.
Okay, so we're going to kind of do something like the way we did the Matrix even, where I think, you know, each of these is a distinct unit.
Yes.
In its own way. You know, 1 and 2 are the same characters and plot, but nothing else is resembled between the two of them.
God, no, it was so jarring. It was very jarring.
So, we're going to go back about 36 years to Part 1, which was released on March 6th, 1985, when a bunch of scrappy... Yeah, a bunch of... Actually, not necessarily scrappy. I mean, Nobuo Shigeru, the director and one of the creators, was an established, at the time even, director, was trying to shop this around as a TV show. It's a 26-episode series.
That would have been cool.
But nobody wanted it. So they said they had... You know, they had enough materials to pull together an 80-minute movie. This got released on home video directly, sort of very early in that format. You know, if you don't know Nobuo Shigeru, he is the guy who directed the second season of Yamato, which became the Combat Empire part of Star Blazers, the original Super Metroid Fortress Macross, which became part of Robotech, and Legend of Galactic Heroes. He's a veteran director even at this time. He'd been involved since really the beginning of anime. And you can hear our conversations on him going back to very early days of our podcast. But him and Shinji Aramaki.
I love that we have canon.
I am just trying to guide our listeners to previous episodes.
And they should listen to them. Some of them are really fun.
Some of them probably haven't aged well.
Bro, almost certainly. But shouldn't encourage you to listen to those even more.
No,
everyone wants to hear that.
I don't know if there's anything cancelable in there.
Oh, you never know. I hope not.
Oh yeah. I mean, it wasn't that long ago.
It's true. It's not 10 years yet, and I know because I haven't had to watch My Little Pony.
That's gonna be interesting how that aged.
That's true. That'll be interesting too. You were saying, like, were you mentioning the screenplay? Or?
I brought up the director, and then the original story was by Ishiguro and Shinji Aramaki, who at this point is kind of only known for doing those anime of dubious quality that are in CG, like the Appleseed anime and the Captain Harlock CG thing, and that upcoming Blade Runner anime that I should be excited for, but isn't.
Really? Why not?
Because he hasn't directed anything good in, like, years and years.
Okay. I don't know. It could be interesting, although I find, at the risk of getting negative hate mail that I never actually get, I found most of Blade Runner to be just boring as all hell.
I don't think that's an uncommon opinion. I think there's people who love Blade Runner and there's people who don't like Blade Runner.
I don't even not like it. I just find it exceptionally boring.
Did you watch 2049?
I didn't, because I couldn't stomach the first one. Although I've watched tons of, pieces of it. Well, that's sad, because, Blade Runner anime sounds like it should be really exciting for people who like that kind of thing.
It should be good. The short they made before the movie was really good, but that was Shinichiro Watanabe who did that, and I will watch anything with his name on it.
Duly noted.
That's the guy who did Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, he did like a 7-minute Blade Runner thing, and, if you haven't seen it, it's on Crunchyroll.
I really do need, just a laminated cheat sheet of big-name writers and directors and animes so I could just, reference it in alphabetical order and be like, oh, that guy, yes.
You don't have one?
I don't have one. And I don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of it.
I know what your Christmas present is going to be now.
Although I do, and I don't ever regret having bought it. I did buy the Encyclopedia of Anime, and I never regret having it. Just on my Kindle nearby, I'll be watching something for the podcast. I'll just pull it up and be like, oh my god, this is so useful.
Yeah, and if you buy the physical edition, you can use it to murder someone. Easily.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, sure. If you're looking for a murder weapon, there are more expensive ways of doing it than just buying the Anime Encyclopedia.
The Anime Encyclopedia 3rd Edition is gigantic. It's about $100, and you can use it to easily brain someone. Actually, you might not because it is so heavy.
Well, that will ensure that you really want it to happen. You really want that murder to happen. Let's see. Are we bringing in the character design too while we're discussing all the little
Yeah, the character design matters, I think, because that is such a visual key to each of the pieces of seeing how things look.
Oh, that and two out of the three were done by someone else.
I think each one has... Yeah, well, no. What is one character was designed by Haruhiki Mikimoto, and that is the only character who appears in all three parts.
Okay.
Everyone else is designed by somebody else.
Figured that one out. Check.
So, so in this, there's a character called Eve who was always designed by Haruhiki Mikimoto.
Right.
The rest of the characters are usually designed by somebody else. So in this one, it's Toshio Hirano, who has kind of gone on to become a director of things like the recent Baki anime on Netflix, and at this point, the classic series Devilman Lady, which has also been released as Devil Lady here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's now released as Devilman Lady in the new Blu-ray release from Discotech.
Never heard of this classic. I've heard of Devilman. And I'm supposed to be reading that at some point.
Well, it's like Batman Lady.
Batman Lady? It has a very Jerry Lewis thing ring to it.
You know, that's a film that's it's sitting there with The Day the Clown Cried.
Yeah, the character design changes are jarring. But we'll talk about that as we continue on. So we should move into the plot, though.
Yeah, let's discuss what happens in part one.
So it definitely it opens pretty like I don't even now, having recorded this podcast for coming on 10 years soon, I don't feel like I have an exceptionally strong background in anime, but this felt very much like some of the small driblets I got in the 80s. Like, it just felt like an 80s anime movie. But it itself takes place in what seems to be, 80s Tokyo?
Yeah, like 1985-ish Tokyo, like present day for the time Tokyo. Right.
And so, they mentioned Hard Rock Cafe, because I've only watched the first movie subbed.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I've seen subs combined with dubs, I'm like, I gotta definitely watch the first movie again, because chances are I missed something in those subs. At least the ones I watched in the second and third movie weren't completely conducive to what the dub was saying. And the dub seemed to make more sense. But in any case, so they I guess the girl he meets works at the Hard Rock Cafe, which was a little weird. Like, this is a movie. I think the most jarring part about the first movie is the commercialism of it. So much product placement. Hard Rock Cafe, Heineken beer. There was another beer type that I don't remember what it was. Probably Budweiser.
They definitely put, real objects in there. I don't necessarily think it's product placement the same way we think of it now, or it's a paid placement, but this is much more like, they wanted to make it look real, so they're going to put actual things in there. And
I think they wanted free stuff.
I don't know if that was a thing. I honestly don't think that's a thing at the time. Because, again, this is not necessarily a huge thing within general culture.
I don't think they're getting paid for it. I just think they wanted someone to send their studio beer. That could happen. I love how you're just so, no, I'll wait for you to play out. You'll split around and we'll come on talking insanely again.
Let me derisively sip my water. Tip, 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 tip.
But no, there is a ton of product placement. I understand it wasn't really from a commercial standpoint, because, like you said, this seems to be having gotten a very... it was a low key release, but it was commercial success.
Oh yeah, it was a huge success. They were planning for it to sell 25,000 copies. It sold over 100,000 copies.
Jesus.
So, you know, when you beat your expectation by 4 times, that you can see why you immediately get a sequel.
Mm-hmm. Go team. So that's where you start. You start with, a biker named Shogo and his biker gang.
Yeah, this one doesn't feel much like a gang. This feels like a bunch of friends who think they're a biker gang.
Yeah, okay, I give you that. And then him, aggressively hitting on some girl who works at the Hard Rock Cafe as a dancer.
Was that a thing? Did, the Hard Rock Cafe of the 80s have, a dance troupe?
Not as far as I know, but...
I mean, maybe in Japan, they, you know...
That's exactly what I thought during the movie. I'm like, maybe it's a different culture. They do different things there.
I mean, also, maybe in the 80s, I obviously wasn't alive and you were a child, and I don't know if, you go to one of, the flagship Hard Rock Cafes. It doesn't seem possible to me.
I don't know. It could be just, different things in different cultures, like the Le Royale with cheese, you know, just...
Yes.
Just a slightly different spin on something. But that's where it starts. It starts getting wacky after that. I'm going to transition to you.
Yeah, this starts as what you think is, a teen comedy dancing thing, more heavily inspired by another film we reviewed, Streets of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they explicitly tag that in the first like 5 minutes of the movie. They're not hiding what influenced them.
But then things go a little weird.
Yes.
When he gets a magic bike.
And then Shogo finds a very heavy motorcycle. The Bahamut. Or at least what is labeled the Bahamut.
Yeah.
They call it the Bahamut early on, and then they find out the real name of it.
Yeah, and that was the Bahamut's name being thrown around in different things was a little confusing.
That clearly is... this. I think the first one, you really can see that, all right, this is definitely meant to be a much longer thing. Because the plot kind of careens wildly for the first half. Any other?
It does.
There are a handful of plot lines that don't necessarily go anywhere. But he takes his bike and drives around, gets chased, discovers he can talk to a giant robot. And we find out that the government or some sort of agency wants this bike for something. He eventually will drive off in through a tunnel and see that there are ruins of another city beneath the city, and also like a large, I'm going to describe it as like a pillar almost, that he finds out is some sort of control for the city, that this is not, that Japan is not Japan, and they are all living in a spaceship. That is, you know, controlling all of their, and this, and a computer controlling all of their lives to sort of keep them going.
Uh-huh.
There is also the pop star Eve, who they watch on TV a lot.
And he even tries to call into her show to like be like, look, magic bike.
Yeah, so would you like call into like Soul Train or whatever if you had a magic bike?
Don't know, but I mean, there's obviously a feeling even in the first of kind of a counterculture.
Yeah, it's definitely, I would say they're definitely like countercultural to an extent.
So they don't really seem to trust, like, he's not jaded enough to realize that you can't, like, out a huge conspiracy to the media, because if it's a good conspiracy, it's already taken over the media. So yeah, he's like, if I just shout this from a corner, no one'll hear. But if I call into Eve's show, everyone will see magic bike that was obviously made by some sort of weird secret plot.
Yeah, I kind of really actually love the way they do this scene where everyone else is watching, he calls in, and what people who are watching see, it cuts away. He keeps talking to Eve though, thinking it's been shown. And that's where you sort of start to get this idea that Eve is not necessarily what you think she is. Because if they're able to, you know, cut it on one end, have her communicate on the other, and still show other material, and have her still showing other material, something is up with Eve. But we find out there is a group who is trying to use this computer and get through it because there's apparently an invasion force coming from space to their spaceship that they have to deal with.
Which was also really weird.
It gets a little convoluted towards the...
It was... like, I'm looking forward to watching it again because I don't feel like I picked up every cue they were laying down the first time. I feel like this is definitely the kind of thing that warrants more than one watch.
And they also have the advantage that it looks great the entire time.
No, so, absolutely. Yeah. It looks really great for the time. And it still, I feel like, holds up mostly.
This one definitely more or less holds up pretty well. People are definitely like, you know, putting their heart and soul into the animation and the design and everything, so... And then putting it on Blu-ray makes it, you know, just pop even more.
Yeah, no, I definitely... The Blu-ray was great. But, so yeah, there's alien forces, and there's secret bike-making groups.
They also then eventually discover, as they're sort of searching through a production building, because I think one of the girls is working there, and Trevor kind of stumbles around and finds that Eve is not actually a person, but a computer creation.
Mm-hmm.
And that she is sort of part of this world computer that's running everything.
System.
And her job is to protect humanity.
Right. And if you're watching, you know, when you watch this, you understand that her job is also to just be a fucking mind trip for three movies. It's basically three versions of, oh, you thought you knew what this character was about?
I think it's one of each time I was like, we have rules to how this world works? Nah.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously some writing on the go, so to speak. And I especially feel like the transition between two and three was them going, you want to make a third one? All right, well, how are we going to do that? Didn't we just end this? And then key.
Yeah, we'll get to part three, because that one is sort of its own, you know, you can do one and two as one conversation, and then you can do three as another one.
Yes. So, and I mean, you basically have him eventually, like, come to a head versus, like, the head of this group that's fighting the aliens.
Yeah, you see, yeah, they're trying to take control of the computer so they can take, you know, deal with the fight with the aliens. Or whatever this force is. Because they're not really clear on it.
No, please correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like within the scope of this world, we have three factions. We have just the, I'll term it the authority, you know, like just what makes this world continue as normal. And we have this secondary, we want to take shit over and do things our own way, that's building like these Garmin bikes as like their weapons. And then we have Shogo.
Yes, yeah, the Shogo and Friends is the last, yeah, there's the sort of the off faction, the coup faction, then the punk faction. If you were to break it down as, you know, what their goals are.
Right. I can't even remember, the aliens who, I'm just gonna, the Dazalg, Dazalg?
Yeah, Dazalg, it's, looks like they got a Scrabble bag.
The aliens are the Dazalg, and I don't quite remember, do they only appear in the second one, or do they appear briefly in the first one?
They really don't appear in the first one, I think they're just in the second one.
That's what I thought, but I wasn't 100% sure, because I've just chained these all in a row.
Yeah, there are implications that they were another one of these ships that humanity sent after Earth shit the bed.
Yeah, I mean, I did some Googling afterwards, and one of the prominent, I guess, theories is that they're, like, the people who lived on Mars.
Again, we don't get any actual thing, and I'm okay with it not being hard explained.
Sure, figure it out yourself.
Yeah, or you know what, write fan theories. Fan theories can be fun.
Sure. The fact that someone's like, no, they're people from Mars is really kind of fun.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it's another one of these like large ships that has life on it after things go bad. Because we eventually find out that, you know, they said it's 85 because that was the most peaceful time on Earth.
Yes, that's why it's 85. The most peaceful time on Earth.
I mean, maybe in Japan. I'm sure, you know, if you're in South America or, you know, Iraq or Iran.
Well, maybe it's relative. Maybe for, like, Iran, it's a different time. Iran's ship is a different time period.
Oh, so you're saying, like, each nation got their own spaceship?
Yeah, like many cultures probably got their own spaceship, and then you just determine what time period is appropriate for them to have their most peaceful time. Now I'm just like, okay, what was the U.S.'s most peaceful time?
I mean, for people living here, it depends on your race.
True, it's very true.
Yeah, but like, you're seeing how we're pointing out that, you know, the Matrix is very heavily influenced by this on to even the most, you know, cursory view of the two plots.
It so is. So, like, and I would be surprised if, like, Dark City didn't purposefully, like, be like, yeah, of course we watched that. It was great, and this is our version.
Yeah, I mean, Dark City, I think, is explicit on that this did influence it.
And The Matrix, the Wachowskis say they had seen it, blah, blah, blah. I just don't believe them.
If they didn't watch, like, other anime, I might be like, okay, maybe just weird things happen, but you've seen enough other things.
Yeah, I'm not saying, like, those liars. I'm not willing to attribute, like, a motive behind it. I'm just saying they had to have seen this. Even, like, the Dazalg, like, the imagery we get from them is so much like their own computer minion,
yes,
bad guys, the squids.
Yeah, again, they probably rented a lot of tapes in the 90s.
It all starts to blur together. But we end this particular part with this battle between, was it BD?
Yeah, it's BD and Shogo.
BD and Shogo, each with their own, like, Garmin-style bike, and Shogo, and what will be the start of a no-one-wins with the prototype Garmin, where he loses. Hard.
But at least he's alive at the end.
Yes. He survives to the end. His girlfriend is waiting for him at her flat.
Wow, you've watched a lot of British television, haven't you, in the pandemic?
Yeah, I really have. I really have.
Like, I've watched a lot, and I know I've, like, occasionally said biscuit, not cookie, but I've never said flat.
Oh, biscuit is so much worse. Biscuit is so much worse.
I watch a lot of Bake Off. Like, mostly Bake Off, let's be honest here.
I can't wait till the next season.
I bet, what, like, 4 months or so?
You got some time. So that's where part one ends. And then if you just stick part two in the Blu-ray player and hit play, it'll take you a little while to figure out what the fuck happened.
Yeah, they don't give you any guidance of that things happen. And if you're watching the Japanese track, there's a whole different voice cast. So not only does the, like, art style change, the tone change, but the voice cast also changes.
Yeah, because the company who shipped them to me, because I got them from the people who did the Kickstarter, they shipped them really quickly. I got those Blu-rays in, like, 2 days.
Yeah, it's like, when you said that, because, like, you had texted me on, I guess, Monday or Tuesday, whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, I just have to buy the Blu-ray for this. And, like, and then you talked to me, like, Thursday, and it's like, it's here already. And I'm like, I was like, I must have hit Amazon or something already, because I can't imagine the small publisher that puts these out.
No, they just, like, got that shit in the mail, and they're in North Carolina, that helps.
Yeah. But it's also, like, one dude is probably shipping them out.
Mm-hmm. He would have shipped them out. He's, like, in the email, like, we would have shipped them out sooner, but we were closed. I'm like, alright.
I just drove to your house.
So, highly recommend buying from them, because that was amazing. Like, the turnaround time was insane.
Yeah. I think he's essentially retired, and his only thing is, you know, publishing hobby anime things.
But so I got to start, as of the second one, I'm watching Blu-ray copies with the English dub.
Oh, which English dubs did you watch? Because each episode has at least two dubs.
On the Blu-ray itself, just for the normal cuts, so Megazone 2, 3, Part 2, and Part 3, if I click on that, it says Japanese or English, and I just pick English.
Okay, so that is the 2000s ADV dub.
Because I didn't want to do, and we didn't talk about international versions or anything like that, so I just tried to play it clean.
Yeah, I mean, episode one has, I think, when you hit it, there are two different dubs for episode one. There's the ADV dub and the Streamline Films dub.
Okay, because, yeah, that's the one I haven't watched on Blu-ray yet.
Yeah. And I think somewhere on there is the Manga UK dub for part three. Because they did their homework and found all the material you can for this, which I always appreciate when a company will. If it exists and you can get it, put it on a Blu-ray, it'll last forever that way.
Mm-hmm. But it was so jarring. So I'm watching part two. I know where part one ended, and I'm just like, who's where what now? And then they're like, oh yeah, this guy's Shogo. And I swear to God, for like 20 minutes, I'm like, I bet this is some sort of weird countercultural like thing where they're just pretending this guy is Shogo, because he looks nothing like Shogo from part one. And I was wrong. Apparently he was Shogo from part one.
Yeah, so the director of this is no longer Nobuo Shigure. It is now Ichiro Tano. And he felt that the other two had sort of moved on to bigger, better things in that year, and that he would bring in someone else to do the character designs. So that is Yosuomi Uematsu. I misspelled my notes. Who did the character design for this? He also directed Kite, Mezzo Forte, and the Robot Carnival segment Presence.
I'll be honest. Two's my favorite character design, but with the exception of Shogo and Yue, because I liked both of their designs strongly from one.
I really like that, like 80s, like that up there. Both are 80s designs. Like they both scream 80s, and I can't saying those 80s designs in part one. It's that sort of more.
I like those. I'm just saying, like in general, especially with the cast of characters they're bringing in, I really liked part two's characters, like, and their designs more. But like, I loved Shogo and Yue from the first one, and then especially Yue, you turn her from this like awesome purple-headed freak to like brown drab-haired Jay McGee.
Yeah, I love Shogo's design. I love that like big anime 80s hair.
Yes, I'm like, where did his hair go? I missed his hair.
He ran out of hair gel in the 6 month that he was on LAM. He couldn't find the hair gel to do that.
I missed his hair. I did. It was very distracting during the second part.
But I
spent half of it trying to get used to the characters again.
I think the designs fit the tone between the two films.
But that said, I loved his carny biker gang. Everyone needs a carny biker gang.
I'm sorry, I can't join a biker gang. I'm afraid of falling too much. And I also, they're never going to wear that much makeup to be in your carny biker gang.
That's fair. But it was also kind of cool. Like, the first movie, Shogo is just running around, saving his girl, knocking down doors. And really, the second movie is like that, too, except you add a couple of more strong male protagonists. But the best you can do, and it was something, I guess, is that they actually teach Yue how to ride a bike and allow her, like, she gets to participate.
Yeah,
she still does it ineptly, but
she only like wants to be part of this group with Shogo, that she cares for him and she's left her life behind and she is trying to join up with them.
That's my big complaint over Megazone 2-3 though. Across all three parts, the women are just side characters. There's never any really, even Eve, who's a character through all three parts, never is really a strong female protagonist.
Well, she's not a protagonist. She's really like, she's more than an object, but she's much more of a guide character at best.
I'm just saying I'm not saying they did great with her, but where's my Trinity, who can at least kick ass?
I mean, these films were all written and directed by men, unlike The Matrix.
True. But
I mean, you do get that one there's that like one woman biker. In part two, at least.
Well, I forget what her name was, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'll remember some derogatory version of it, I'm sure, so. But they had a strong female contingent in the biker gangs that were fun. Don't get me wrong, they were fun characters, but they were really, like, there's just no strong females in these films.
No, there's no one who really, like, drives the plot. They're there, they can be cool, but they're not part of the story. Actually, there's one thing I wanted to say about part one that I didn't bring up, but there's one of the side characters, one of his like punk friends, who when they like a war quote unquote starts, you see him lining up to join the military. This was a really neat little commentary on how sort of the military will use sort of popular culture to make itself seem cool to recruit people.
Yes. We should say that at the end of part one, they basically have more or less won, or at least for now, won their war against the system and have taken over parts. So, like, I don't think they've told the complete truth to everyone. It's more along the lines of, we're going to war, join up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's war. That's what you do.
Right. But yeah, like, and I noticed that too. That was, and it evokes the appropriate, like, sense of, like, oh man, you guys were better than that. Just blindly joining up into the military, and you don't even know why. You really don't know why.
I mean, this is why you made things like Top Gun.
True enough. But in any case, so as you mentioned in part two, we start 6 months in the future. Yue and Shogo hook back up. There's like non-edited boobs and stuff now, so congratulations, people who care.
Well, yeah, this was not conceived as a TV show. This was conceived for a direct-to-video thing, you know, explicitly just to be direct-to-video.
Right. Like, all of them have adult content, but as of two, like, the adult content gets graphic.
Yeah, two was, wait a second.
Was kind of graphic.
Two was like, wait, we don't have limits anymore? Okay, time to get the body horror going.
Right. So they become an actual couple. Yue learns how to ride a bike. In the meantime, you've got Shogo trying to convince this carny biker gang. I say carny because they're just very outgoing personalities.
They're outgoing. They're, you know, all have, you know, various dyed hair, you know, makeup.
They're not. I love the fact that, like, they're not like pretty people necessarily either. It's like,
yeah, I love when Adam, like, yeah, we have a lot. There is more than one body type.
Mm-hmm. And I get the feeling that they believe parts of what Shogo is saying, but until Eve actually reaches out and communicates with them, they didn't believe all of what he was saying. And then they do, and they're like, yeah, down with the system. I don't know what they think was going to happen, like, because now you're rebelling against the rebellion against the system. But you're not for the system.
You're anti-system.
So the only solution I feel in my mind from their point of view was, we don't like what you're doing with your rebellion against the system. We're going to rebel against the system in our own way.
But also, we're listening to the computer in the system.
True. But that's because, like, even at that point, I feel like she's just like, well, listen, there's the system and then there's this, and if you just let us explain why the system is existing, you might be okay.
Maybe I've watched too much of this, but if you know there's a computer controlling the world and a computer is talking to you, don't fucking trust that thing. It could easily be using you.
It's true, but, you know, they didn't have a lot of options.
I mean, they're also teenagers.
That's true. It's hard to... They stress that point, but none of them look like teenagers, is the problem.
I don't know what teenagers look like anymore.
They don't look like 30-year-old people who life is rode hard. Which is what all the characters in the show look like, except maybe Yue. Because now she has drab brown hair and just kind of looks around and says, I want to ride a bike. I might be bitter about her character transformation from part one.
I think you're bitter about Yui Tanaka's character design change.
It was uncalled for.
She should just get the blue hair. I don't know why they went with, like, fuck character design.
The blue hair, she was saucier in the first one.
The friends were in general, like, saucier. They weren't bitter, anti-authoritarian biker gang.
Right. So, they eventually, like, do another, like, conference. They do a bigger, like, the biker gang versus, like, a huge military industrial complex, which doesn't seem like it should work.
It doesn't seem like it, but it doesn't. It gets results.
It works enough. They achieve their goal.
Yes, goals come at a cost.
I love that there's just not one time, like, Operator 7, I think is what they call whoever runs the original Garmin. There's not one time Operator 7 actually wins.
No, Operator G7 has to lose.
There's just, like, every fucking time he gets into that bike and turns it into a robot and goes against the boss, he's gonna lose. If you're a mook, he'll beat the crap out of you. If you're a boss, don't worry about it. You got this.
I'm amazed that he didn't, like, lose every time, because he's not trained to use that.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying they build you up. Like, this is the better bike. He's the chosen one. Every fucking time he loses.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think training matters.
Absolutely. This is where it gets a little confusing, though. Because they eventually do make it down into the level they need to be at. Level 7, I believe it is.
Yeah. That's at least what they said in part 1.
But Yue has been gravely injured. And they make it to this place where Eve is. That's where it's a little confusing to me. Like, what exactly happens? But in the meantime, I should point out what's happening in the background. And so at one point in the foreground is that these Dezolg are just wreaking havoc on Megazone 2-3's own, like, military complex. Like, they're not doing well against the Dezolg.
No, we see even, this starts with it. We see a ship getting just completely destroyed by it.
And the Dezolg have penetrated Megazone 2-3 to the point where during one of the biker gang versus rebellion, like, engagements, the Dezolg just come and end it themselves.
Yeah, the Dezolg are here to end this whole plot line. And they seem to only attack with just, like, mechanical tentacles.
Yes, but they're terrifying mechanical tentacles.
I'm sure if I ever saw a mechanical tentacle, which not easy to say, in real life it would be very goofy and dumb, but in any time it's animated, so this, The Matrix, horrifying.
This is very horrifying. Because
it will run through your body every time. That's the only way they attack. There's blood and guts everywhere. Doesn't shy away from the violence.
So they get down to Eve and they talk to Eve. And he talks to Eve because she's all like, oh, your girlfriend's wounded. Don't worry about that. She's not dead yet. And you're like, okay, well, will she be dead soon?
No comment.
So he goes in and talks to Eve and they talk. It's very like, this is the reality of the Matrix.
Yeah, this feels like the end of Matrix,
Two.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the name of two.
Reloaded.
It was Reloaded. They need a better naming scheme.
True. But it's just Matrix 2.
Yes, this felt like I talked to the architect.
If you've never seen the MTV Movie Awards video that parodies the Matrix movies where Will Ferrell is the architect, you're doing yourself a disservice. Go watch them.
What year is that? Is that from around the time, or is that more recent?
No, that's from around the time when The Matrix came out, like right at when The Matrix movies had just come out, like the third one.
So it was like peak Will Ferrell, too, at that time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's pretty funny.
Or even like Will Ferrell Ascendant.
And it's got Justin Timberlake and some other guy as the ones.
I'll have to check that out.
It's pretty funny.
I've never watched the MTV Music Awards, shockingly, to all our listeners.
I haven't either, but I like that. And there's a point at which Gollum wins an award, and the animation studio, or not Gollum, but like the guy who...
Andy Serkis?
I think Andy Serkis accepts the award for a Lord of the Rings win, and they have Gollum walk on the stage and chew him the fuck out with copious swearing. Those are to just peek things that live in my head rent free.
A lot of things in your head live rent free.
True.
It's a lot of affordable housing.
I like to think I'm discerning to some extent.
It's a lot of affordable housing up there.
Wow, that is a weirdly effective slight.
Listeners, you may use that for free.
Well done! I didn't see that coming, but I feel worse now.
Listeners, I broke Diego. He has fallen through his background.
I like that. But we should move on. Can you describe to me what happens at this point?
So at this point, I think he talks to Eve for a while. They, you know.
Yes.
Do weird psychedelic backgrounds and float into different spaces. But I think she transports him and his allies to Earth. To start over.
I thought they crashed.
Maybe she crashed them. I think she protected them in a way to get to Earth. Because they are all right there at the end. They are all surviving.
Well, they show up at Earth, and then I guess the moon defense system destroys the Dazalg.
Yes.
But also large parts of, like, even Megazone 2-3, really, right?
It seems like, yeah, it's just protecting them. Like,
so there's this...
The only thing Eve cares about is Shogo and friends. They're chosen to repopulate the Earth.
Right. So, and that's, like, but that's really all we get.
Yeah, it ends there. No plan for a sequel.
And probably, like, we're going to talk about it imminently, but it would have been fine there.
Yeah.
It didn't need a part three.
It gets, you know, but because of how many film series don't need a, you know, need a sequel.
True. I'm just saying, if you enjoyed where this is, you could have stopped. Like, you didn't have to watch part three. I would never say that it's required viewing, although I did enjoy it. I was a little delirious with fatigue when I was watching it last night, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, part three, it speaking of tone, you know, tone and everything else shifting, part three is, you know, a high-speed left turn.
Well, we exit the 80s, and we enter the 90s.
Yes, yeah, so this was released in fall of 89. And this, to me, feels more dated. Like, the style of it, because it's set in, like, 80s future, it somehow feels more dated than just being set in the 80s itself.
It's very weird. It's... because they've abandoned, but not abandoned, like, time periods. Like, the part one and two are occurring on this 1980s place. This is 3 centuries later. But it's got, like, people are in cars and motorcycles, easy peasy, no problem. But at the same time, there's, like, hackers and that kind
hackers
of shit.
Hackers and cyberspace and...
And net, I forget what they call their net criminals, but those guys.
Oh, so it was something dumb.
Yeah,
like
I don't
remember. It was like Netscapers or something, I don't know.
And they said it like 1,000 times, so I have no excuse for forgetting it. Especially since I watched it last night, but I do. I don't remember.
I didn't write it down, but I did write down the name of their video game system.
I liked that, I want to play that
Hard
game.
On?
Yes. Oh, how... I'm watching this, and you've thought the same thing, too, where you're just like, this is The Last Starfighter, right?
So, what I wrote is this going to be some Ender's Game BS or Last Starfighter BS?
Yeah, that's a valid point, but it turned out to be The Last Starfighter BS.
Yes, it was one
but
of them.
But in the reverse way. Like, they're like, oh, he's awesome, kill him!
He might rise up against us. Perfectly reasonable.
True. And so this follows the same formula as Megazone 2-3. We have our main character, Eiji.
Eiji, EIJI is for our listeners, and neither of us are experts on names.
Well, I was just listening to it a lot of them, but I can't remember exactly the nuance of their pronunciation. And plus, as we know, like, oh, before we continue, is it Sean or Sion?
I was reading Sion.
Yes, as I would read Sion, it's S-I-O-N, but the American dub, the English dub, oh my god, just called him Sean for the whole movie, and I'm like, I don't think that's his name.
He lists the name as Zion. Which I can see why you would change that in the subtitles. To Sion.
Right, but like, no, that was the, like, normally I'm pretty okay with English dubs, but that one was like, that is not how you pronounce that.
Look, this is how we get things like the Mega Deuce in Big O, because someone didn't know that D-E-U-S is a word.
That was annoying. I'm like, there's no way that's pronounced Sean.
I mean, there's a lot of ways to spell Sean. S-I-O-N is not one I see often.
You should do the plant watering. But no, that was weird. But you have your main character. He finds a girl he likes. You know, he already has the garment. He doesn't even have to work for it.
Yeah, I question, like, is that actually the bike at the beginning?
Apparently, it is one of the versions, like, that was used by Shogo, because Shogo, I guess, uses two different versions.
I guess.
That's what backtracking has led me to believe.
But yeah, he just has it. He doesn't know what it is, actually.
And he's working for the EX Corporation. It's kind of like when hackers get jobs for big corporations.
Yeah, but does he know he's working for the big corp, you know?
He seems to.
Okay, yeah, he knows who he's working for. He doesn't know what he's working against.
Right, he doesn't know what he's working... Yeah, he doesn't know what they really are for. Like, because he's... I don't think he's clued in.
I don't think he learns that it's actually a religion.
Right.
A cult, like, or whatever it is.
I'm still wrapping my brain around the fact that they were two, like, they were the same side. It didn't necessarily feel throughout the whole thing that they were the same side until I get to the end. Oh, as a side point, if any of you are watching the Blu-ray and watch this fucking thing, the first time you hit 5 minutes of credits, don't stop the movie. I was so tired, I was like, I could just not go past these credits and tell Vinny I watched the thing, and then find out. I'm like, no, like, I'm looking at my tracking bar, and I'm like, there's like an hour of this to go. There's just no way that they're this inept at making a Blu-ray. So sure enough, when you fast forward, you get to the second part. But that was so weird. Why did they do that?
It was released as two episodes originally. So part one was released in September, part two was released in December.
I so wanted to just be like, nope, watch the movie.
Oh, when the moon attacks and stuff again.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that. But I watched the whole thing because I am dedicated to our cause.
Oh, it's another 15 minutes of your time. It's not exactly a huge lift to finish a plot line out.
Yeah, but it was like midnight and I was tired.
You could have gotten up to today and watched it. You had time.
I wasn't willing to trust myself to get up at the right time to watch it.
Fair enough.
And I don't set the alarm on the weekend. But yeah, so you have the Bishop Wan Dai, who we'll talk about. Who's apparently on the same side as the EX Bureau and Project Heaven. And you have Sean, who's part of the Orange Rebellion?
Yeah, the Orange Faction, who is this time our anti-authoritarian group.
Right, so they will eventually recruit EG. They had already kind of recruited the girl who's so forgettable that I don't remember her name. I really don't remember her name.
I'm gonna guess.
She's eminently forgettable.
yeah, she's does not play, you know, Yui plays a role in parts 1 and 2.
Yes.
Eiji's girlfriend does not play a role in this one. Because she is replaced entirely by Eva's as the, you know, the female character in the second half of this.
A true romantic interest, let's be honest.
Well, yeah, you're always going to go for the, you know, girl who's been frozen in the past for question mark amount of time.
Right. So, that's just the way it is. Yeah, so you have... So eventually they do recruit over EG. And EX wants to kill him. And you find out their dastardly plots. Which, again, we cannot stress enough. Part 3 is just like a Legoed on.
It's Legoed on. It also feels like they're taking the things they remembered from the... Like, they had seen parts 1 and 2 a while ago and remembered some things and brainstormed a plot based on the things they remembered.
Right. And it relies heavily on interpreting what happens in 2. Like, kind of like, you know how Sherlock Holmes solves mysteries by recalling things that you have no way of knowing? That's how they kind of interpret 2. Like, they're just like, this is what happened. Tell me, prove me wrong.
Which I'm okay with when you're writing a story, let's be honest here. Like, you can fill in details here and there, but...
Sure, but it basically says, part 2 you're left at the end of part 2 being like, I guess this is what was supposed to happen, and part 3 is just like, nope! So you take it as you will. Like, I didn't feel any particular loyalty, I just thought it's worth noting. And you find out Project Heaven is basically like, well, for some reason, they haven't really been let out of the crash part of Megazone 2-3.
Yeah, which is here's where, like, we find out that this is the thing that was called Megazone 2-3. They've never actually... The phrase Megazone or 2-3 were never used in parts 1 and 2.
Right. So you have, like, they haven't... Like, they're on Earth, but they haven't been released. The system has not allowed them to populate the Earth. And no one really knows why. But some groups have some theories. So basically Project Heaven says, well, some of our humans are dirty little peasants and are stopping us because they're not the best that humanity has to offer. So we are going to launch them into space.
Because that's how you solve problems.
So they're not here anymore, and then we will get to populate the Earth, the good people. And I think it's unspoken, but spoken, that they're not going to, like, be in space indefinitely. They're going to, like, die.
Wait, no. They're locking them into space to just get rid of them.
Right. But, like the Project Heaven doesn't really talk about, like, what's going to happen to them. But, like, Wanda is like, yeah, those fuckers are getting murdered. And so then it becomes like a two-faction attack. So you have EG with Eve trying to confront System, and you have, like, the Orange Group trying to stop the big launch into space.
Yeah, we got some... We learned that Eve was actually a person this whole time.
Which was a surprise.
I was not expecting that. Again, I've not seen part 3. Because part 2 felt conclusive, and I'm like, I'll get to it eventually. Which didn't happen until yesterday.
But yeah, it was a surprise. And it was fine, but it, as always, feels so much like the whole plot line for that character feels so much like a Deus Ex Machina.
I mean, even more here, where, like, really, she just, like, you know, it was an escort quest for her in this second half.
Absolutely. To the bitter end.
And then I guess she needs to die and take over the computer from the bishop. Since she is more the creator.
Right. And that's where we get, like... This is, again, where we're going to bring up the fact that, you know, if you're a fan of this, go forth with your theories, because there's a lot of fun ones out there. Including the fact that, because they give you some clues about who Wandai, the bishop Wandai is... I think my favorite theory is that he's Shogo from the first movie. Because he does fold pretty quickly. He's just like, oh, you can beat me? You must be the actual chosen one.
You were the chosen one.
And I mean, like, you know, all these people, like, it took 300 years for, like, a group of bikers to really, you know, populate the Earth. But man, did they breed some sons of bitches while they were doing it.
That's how you do.
People, am I right?
Ugh.
People.
The worst.
So, like, everything ends, and the computer allows them to populate the Earth. It is more of a... It's basically the ending at the end of Part 2, if Part 3 never happened.
Yeah, you're left with... Oh, so you just made another, like, speed bump to Part 3.
And I fully believe that if Part 4 has whatever happened, then it's just going to be... Did we not mention there's another wall of Megazone 2 and 3?
Oh no, things went wrong again. But I think there's no plans for sequels. There is announced remakes, but...
The only thing I could say is I would have a lot of fun with the TV show version of this.
I would rather see it in like an expansion or a... I also don't know if there's a need for...
No, I don't need it. I'm just saying, if you were ever going to do anything, I'd like to see the original intention of a TV series.
Yeah, I'd like to see that full thing expanded into whatever is like 13 or 26 episodes, because there's a whole lot of plot line that doesn't really go anywhere in that first movie.
Or frankly make any sense. I'm going to be honest, like, the romantic relationships can be a little uncomfortable because I feel like they probably have to cram into 80 minutes, so...
Yeah, you're told that Shogo and Yui love each other.
Yes. Despite it looking awkward.
Oh, they are teenagers.
True. But, so, yeah, again, 3... Definitely the outlier of the 3.
Yeah, it also has some, like, animation mistakes where they just didn't finish the animation clearly.
Mm.
Which I'm not usually a ball buster when it comes to, like, bad animation, quote-unquote, but, like, they missed in-betweens on some of the keyframes, it looks like.
Well, that, and I mean, when you have such good... Both 1 and 2 had great animation. So, there's no excuse.
Yeah, it's... You burn your budget? I don't know, but it's...
But it's available.
Yeah, it's one of those. You're not gonna not get it if you're getting 1 and 2. No one's gonna ever release these as 3 separate pieces ever again.
There's no reason to. And it's a good story. I mean, like in total, the Megazone 2-3 is a solid story. I mean, I felt strongly enough that you know I'm gonna end up showing it to my wife, and it's not necessarily her cup of tea, but you know.
I mean, I'm a little surprised you're showing Part 2 to your wife, honestly.
The science fiction elements are. Worth seeing.
Yeah, I think what someone should do is as a weekend marathon, you know, put on Streets of Fire, put on this, then do Dark City, then do The Matrix.
That is one hell of a marathon.
And then you can always go, wait, how the hell did Dark City influence The Matrix?
Right. Will anyone believe anything they see after that marathon?
No, but if someone's like a teenager, they'll be like, no, actually, you know what? Those are all old movies. If you show me to a teenager, they're going to hate all of them. If they don't find them on their own, they will hate all of them.
Oh, you can't lead the youth to anything. They have to find it themselves.
Yes.
And then believe they're the first people to ever see it. I've been a teenager. I know what it's like. That's a lie. I don't know what it's like anymore.
Yeah, you're not a zoomer.
The bliss of... Being able to forget what you were like as a teenager, I feel, is sometimes the only thing that can keep you sane as an adult.
It's true. Because whenever you have a flash of those memories,
mortification.
You're laid up for like a good 4 hours.
Just rocking in a ball on your bed, going, oh god, I can't believe that. Oh, let's see. Is there anything else we want to discuss about these?
We did.
I think we have questions.
We did have some questions. We had at least 2. We had, I think, 1 on the Twitter and 1 on the Discord. If you want to, you can always ask one of us to add you to the Discord. We'd mostly just ask questions. We could do other chats or such.
At some points, there have been fun conversations, too. Yeah.
Could you open up Discord? I don't have it open.
I can. It'll take a second, but I can do it.
I'm pulling up Twitter as we talk here about the different questions. But I believe the question on Discord was, do you ever find yourself singing Highway to the Megazone?
Let's see. Yes. So, Ink, our beloved frequent questioner and host of his own podcasts, asked us, do you ever swap out Megazone for Danger Zone while belting out Kenny Loggins in the shower? I have never before, but I'm going to try it out next shower, Ink, and let you know how it went.
You can just record the singing of it and then put on a tape and mail it to Ink.
I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm going to try it out, though.
From Pets Prime, who was my gift giver in 2019, part one sure is perfect, isn't it? Perfect's a strong word, but I you know, if I walk past a TV and it's on, I'm not moving from that TV until it's over.
Pats, I really enjoyed it. I didn't think I would, honestly, because I didn't have any idea. That's the beauty, I think, of Megazone. You don't, like, just watch, you don't look at the cover or see the title and go, that's what that's about. It's a secret little gem.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about any of the music in this, actually. Of the Eve pop songs.
Yes, which in some parts got translated in English and some parts not, so that was interesting.
Translating music can be hard and expensive. This is like a trivia question, but I don't know the answer to it. What other 80s box office bombs, like Streets of Fire did for Megazone 2, 3, and other series, would you like to see inspire an anime? And I had to like look up like box office bombs.
Did the DDR thing get box office bombs?
They didn't really get to the box office.
I'd watch an anime about DDR.
I'd watch more of the FP and if someone did an anime inspired. That already feels so inspired by other things.
True. I don't know, like. If you, I will say, whoever, who, is this still Pat's?
This is, different Pat.
Alright, so, if you would follow up on Twitter with some of, like, the 80s bombs you think, I'll be happy to comment on them. It's just hard for me, like, I've absorbed so much fucking 80s at this point through the podcast that I couldn't tell you what bombed and what didn't. And I'm starting to have trouble, like, separating them out, even.
And the problem is, when we watch something, you know, if something's considered a bomb, it doesn't necessarily... It may have gotten a lot of legs since then.
True. And it may have bombed then, but it didn't necessarily bomb with us.
I mean, like, Dark City was a bomb.
Yes, it was. And it was just one of my favorite pieces of fiction.
But it's a phenomenal film, and I think it's kind of... It's We've talked about it on the podcast, and other podcasts have talked about it, and it's gotten, you know, Blu-rays and a director's cut, so. People obviously, like, care about it, and it's developed a culture around it, and that's sort of the cult classic zone.
Sometimes things just need a little time. They need to steep. Which is embarrassing to make a tea reference, since I hate tea, but, you know. People like tea, so you'll understand.
It's got to ferment. You like fermented things.
I don't really drink that much alcohol.
Well, other things can ferment. Yogurt needs to be fermented.
I hate yogurt.
Some cheeses ferment.
All right, you win me over with cheese.
Do you like stinky cheeses, like your blue cheeses and your those kind of things?
I don't know. As a Midwesterner... You know, if it's not like cheddar and American, I haven't really absorbed too much. Like, I haven't had the opportunity to. That said, like, I got, like, off that one grocery site where they bring the groceries to your home, I did get, like, their version of an aged cheddar, and it was not pleasant. So I probably don't like stinky cheeses.
How do you feel about sourdough?
Depends on the sourdough. I can take or leave it.
Okay.
I've enjoyed sourdough heavily, and I've also been like, but bitter tastes are bitter. Like the bitter taste range is very hit and miss with me.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of like those sour tastes when it comes to funky cheeses and various. I like fermenty flavors.
I think
I like many have became a, you know, well, I didn't become, but I did, you know, level up my sourdough skill during the pandemic.
Well, sure. You built your own starter.
No, I got mine as a gift in October 2019.
Oh, that's nice.
Someone from work was like, if anyone needs starter, I've got extra that they want to get rid of if they want some.
Oh, very nice. That seems like, that's almost like getting someone a pet, though. Like, you're like, here, work.
Yeah, but I've kept it alive now, and I've you know, broken off parts of it and given it out.
No, I fully admire that. I just, like, I'm trying to, I've been thinking to myself, I'm like, would I appreciate someone getting me a starter? And I'm just like, probably not.
No, I would, I don't think you would.
Because I'm like, that's just work.
No offense to you.
I wasn't going to take offense until you said that. Now I'm like, well, what did you mean by that?
Well, I don't think there's someone who's going to, like, you know, want to make something with it every week, which is what you kind of have to do.
Yeah, we were fine before you said that.
Okay, affordable housing.
So was that the last time?
No, I'm sorry, bombs, and I'm like, oh, Robocop isn't a bomb.
I don't want to see a Robocop anime.
I mean, you kind of can. It's
too depressing.
You also get a lot of the Super Sentai stuff, and about the Metal Hero stuff too. Looks, took some looks of it and just made it, you know, fun.
But
I think we're out of questions and we're spinning our wheels.
That's true. We got. I think we're gonna have a fun one for the next episode. So
I hope so.
I'll just have to figure out how to pronounce its name. It's been challenging. Our house has not figured it out yet.
Okay.
But until then. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you for listening, and watch Megazone 2-3.
Absolutely.